Stories and news on the Wintrust Business Lunch. This is John Williams. We're produced by Pete Zimmerman. We'll be here until 1 o'clock. Anna DeVlantis after that. And let's take a look at some of the numbers that are in the business news. We'll start with Mark Hamrick. He is the Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst at Bankrate. You can visit Bankrate.com. Hi, Mark. Let's talk about some of the numbers, okay?
Always a pleasure. Good to be with you. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. So I've got the July jobs report story from at least one source, and this is interesting to me. I'm looking at Yahoo's writing on this, and they talk about the unemployment rate, which is 10.2%, but it was expected to be 10.6%. So that's a silver lining. It was 11.1% in June. So that's a nice trend. Is it coming down fast enough for you, or is that about what you expected?
I don't know that it matters too much for me. It matters more for the millions of Americans who are unemployed, right? And so to the extent that we still have a deficit to make up of 12.4 million jobs that remain to be restored in this economy, I would say until you've done that, I don't think you're checking off any mission accomplished boxes. I would say I was relieved, to put it in a personal context, that we got the report we did, if only because in recent days we had a bit of a miss with the ADP private payrolls report that came in with fewer than 200,000 jobs added when people are looking for numbers in the millions. The Institute for Supply Management readings, those contained weak employment components. And so with that, along with some of the high-frequency data, whether it's hiring data that comes from a company called Homebase that people have been following a lot lately, there have been all kinds of things to point to the risk of a downside surprise today, so that we got the unemployment rate moving down from 11.1, and that we had the number of jobs added that we did. That is progress. Obviously, we're not at the intended or hoped-for destination yet.
Is the average hourly rate important to you, or can you put that in some perspective? If you're getting a job, how much are you making per hour? What do you think about that?
Yeah. Well, the average hourly earnings data is rather skewed these days because of the composition of jobs that have been lost. So we think about the leading edge of job loss and recently restoration being leisure and hospitality, bars and restaurants, travel and retail. Those don't tend to be better paying jobs, and so it's very hard to make much out of wage gains these days. But I will say this, no matter where one sits on the political issues of the day, we will suffer a decline in incomes here in the United States because of the failure of Congress to agree on a renewed aid package here. And I think that there's wide agreement that it is necessary given the high level of distress in the economy right now. If you're looking for signs of hope, I would say, you know, we can pray that we've seen a peak in the virus now, that restrictions have been put back in place in many parts of the country. Yesterday, as we looked at the new unemployment claims data, there was hopeful news there because some of the trouble spots before have begun to look better again on claims, whether it's California, whether it's Georgia, Florida, Texas. And, of course, here in the state of Illinois, as I, you know, looked before coming on here, you also had some progress with new jobless claims down by about 8,500 to 25,000. And you've restored about 25% of the jobs as of the previous month because, as we know, the state unemployment data lags the national data, meaning we'll have to wait to get the Illinois data. And I'll just pass along another little tidbit, and that is a Bankrate. I'd urge members of your audience to take a look because I think it's interesting and it's graphically pleasant to look at. Put something together called the Housing Hardship Index, and this is of all 50 states. Basically, it combines the unemployment rate and the mortgage delinquencies. Illinois is toward the top of the list with this measure of stress, economic stress, number 7, with the 14.6% unemployment rate and mortgage delinquencies being where they are at close to 8%. So Obviously, we want to have progress all across the country, as well as we're close to home, and this suggests that broadly there's more work to do.
And particularly in Illinois, that you want to be near the bottom of that list you just gave us. We're near the top.
Exactly.
Well, but it is graphically good to look at. Bankrate.com, Mark Hamrick. Actually, I'm not teasing you. I am a little bit, but I think that is interesting, and I think I will look at that. Bankrate.com.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, John. Take good care.
Yeah, you too. Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief, Senior Economic Analyst there. Murphy DeBungie joins us again from the Illinois Policy Institute. We're talking on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Murphy, welcome back. I trust you're well. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, John. How are you?
I'm doing real well, thanks. I wish the state of Illinois could say the same thing.
Yes. It's terrible what's happening. I mean, GDP for quarter two fell by almost 10%, and that's really, really terrible because it's the worst single quarter decline in recorded U.S. history.
Say that again.
It's the worst single quarter decline in GDP in recorded U.S. history.
For any state, I guess, huh?
For any state, that's correct.
Well, that's terrible, but I mean, I suppose it's a pandemic and every state's probably racking up their worst GDP quarters ever too, right?
That's right. I mean, it's kind of statewide. We're seeing this huge downfall. And, you know, we have every reason to believe that Illinois is just kind of faring the same as the rest of the country. In Illinois, that would mean roughly $940 million per day zapped out of the economy from April to June. So it's an absolute disaster. Yeah. I guess the big question now is, are we actually recovering?
What do you mean by that?
Right, so the U.S. jobs report came out this morning, and we want, you know, everybody's eyes were on the jobs report to figure out, you know, are we climbing out of the hole that we're in? You know, as more states are reopening, are we seeing the light at the end of the tunnel? And yes, we are slowly recovering in quarter three, but the recovery has stalled. Meaning that the jobs gains that were made last month are likely lower this month because that's what we're observing from the U.S. jobs report today.
So we just had a guest on a moment ago who, by the way, sort of doubled down on what you were saying. He said that when you include the housing problems for people and the unemployment in Illinois, which is over 14%, we are as economically distressed as all but four states in the union. So Illinois has got it tough right now, but the unemployment rate is going down and a little bit better than we thought. Maybe it's not a great time to be worrying about wages, but at least that curve is going in the right direction, right, Orfi?
That's right. So there's a recovery. It's just that the recovery is very slow. It's sluggish. It's more sluggish than it was last month.
What should the governor do? What should the state legislature do? Like, are there remedies to this, or do we just have to ride it out?
Well, right now we're still waiting for big help from the federal government. The federal government has a lot of tools to help Americans who are struggling right now, and to try to keep to help the economy in the short term. But in the long term, Illinois can really fix, you know, some of its policies. So, for example, we're going into November. We have an election, and we'll have this progressive income tax on the ballot in November. And it would absolutely be the worst time to raise taxes on job creators. You know, in fact, some of these tax hikes can actually act as a barrier to entry for smaller firms that are, you know, that are on the brink of disaster right now, on the brink of failure. And it could actually shield the larger corporations that have actually, some of them have actually seen profits increase during the pandemic, right? So really, we're trying to get a level playing field for everyone, and that means really helping small businesses that create the most jobs in the state from failing and actually helping them recover.
Orfi DeBungie is the chief economist at the Illinois Policy Institute. You know that not everybody agrees with what you just said.
Oh, absolutely. But this is, you know, this is straight economic research, right? So, you know, some of the larger corporations can absorb a small tax on profits, but the small businesses that are on the brink of failure cannot deal with that, right? So taxes on profits actually hurt firm growth, business growth. But, and so if we are trying to get these people that lost their jobs back into work, we need to worry about preventing mass business failures, especially small business failures.
But these small business job creators you're talking about wouldn't fall into that new tax bracket anyway, right? Would they, Orfie? I mean,
Many of them. So many of them actually do. So when you look at IRS data, you see, you know, a lot of pass-throughs in Illinois are fall into the category of businesses that will face tax hikes.
Pass-through meaning that the business income is included as personal income, so it looks like they're earning a high wage when in fact they're not.
That's right. That's right. And so many of those businesses will face tax hikes if this thing is voted in November. And, of course, that will disproportionately harm the people who lost most jobs during the pandemic, right? Those people that are trying to get, we should be trying to get back to work. And most of the job losers were women, right? So those who were disproportionately harmed by COVID-19 were women and minorities. In fact, we're seeing a massive drop in labor force participation of women with children, right? With young children in the household. And that's terrible. We need women back in the labor force in order to recover and get this economy back working like it used to.
Well, I think I know what you're going to say to this, but then where are we supposed to get the tax dollars then? If not from the wealthiest among us, then from whom?
I think we need to focus on the recovery first, right? So getting tax dollars means growing the tax base. If we can fully recover from this pandemic, then we can start talking about taxes again. But as of right now, you know, the revenues will come from growing the tax base. If there's nobody to tax, you can raise taxes as much as you want. You're just not going to get anything.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And while they are disagreeing about some of the maybe measures of stimulus or unemployment benefits that they will grant people, it seems to me like everybody agrees that this continuous government spending is necessary, right?
Absolutely. I mean, right now that, you know, all eyes are on the federal government. Can they get a bill passed? Can they help Americans who are struggling right now? Unfortunately, at the state level, Illinois has nothing to help, right? So we had the longest expansion in history, and the state had a $1.2 million rainy day fund before COVID-19 hit us. And that's terrible, right? The state was completely unprepared, mostly because of the wrong spending priorities and inability to govern properly at the state level. So now we're all looking at the federal government to avoid, you know, mass business failure, to help us avoid mass business failures, to help families that are struggling to pay their rent and pay their mortgages. The help is not coming from the state government. So everybody's turning to the federal government for help.
Do you have a position on what that should look like, stimulus or unemployment benefits?
Yeah, I think the number one thing should be preventing mass business failures. That means basically, hey, let's help some of these small businesses, conditional on, of course, them rehiring their workers. So that was part of the initial package.
Right.
In terms of unemployment benefits, I think we need to make sure that those who are unemployed continue to get the support they need. You have this national debate as to whether or not too much unemployment benefits right now is a problem. I think that, it's always going to be a problem to have too much too much in terms of what we're giving to the unemployed. But when you look at the current situations, vacancies are down, right? So it's not like there's a lot of hiring going on. In fact, when you look at the data you look at job hiring and job separations, openings, hiring exceeds separations, which is why we're seeing employment growing, right? Net job gains. But in the last month, in the month of July, hiring actually fell a little bit and job losses increased. So it's not, we're seeing net job gains, but the picture does not look rosy in July,
sure,
for the future.
Right, this idea that, well, then we're disincentivizing people to go back to work. To what job?
Exactly.
It's not so easy for people, regardless of their motivation, to find work right now. That's apparent. It's nice to talk to you. Orfi Duvungi, senior economist at the Illinois Policy Institute. We'll visit again. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, John. Take care.
It's 12:37. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. Here is an interesting story about Lin Chin Wen. Do you know who Lin Chin Wen is? He came to the United States, to Chicago from China. He was a student at IIT in 2015. He started a business called Chowbus. His idea was to help the immigrant owners of Asian mom-and-pop restaurants in the city. Sometimes they were not able to use delivery services. Sometimes there were language and marketing barriers. He said, I think I can help those people. And he's helped a lot of people. Revenue up 700% in the last year alone. The company's headcount is now 300 people. Successful enough, they've hired executives from the likes of places like Groupon. So obviously he was on to something here. Lin Chin, you're on WGN Radio.
Oh, hey. Nice to meet you.
I hope you're okay. How are you, Lin Chin?
Hey, yeah. Yeah, everything is good. How are you?
I am doing well, and so you guys are still up and running amidst the pandemic here. Are the restaurants in the area still open, and are you still delivering?
Yes. Everyone is working from home now, and glad to see, you know, more restaurants are reopening. So that's great news.
One of the features of Chowbus, if I understand correctly, is that I can use your app to order food to be delivered, but you guys will get food from more than one place. So if I like the egg rolls here and the soup over there, I can order and have both delivered in one delivery. Is that right?
Yes, correct. It's called restaurant bundling. Basically, you can get a dim sum from one place and get the bubble tea, you know, from next door. So, and it will be delivered as one order. So,
how is your delivery service different than others? Why did restaurants need you? Why did you carve Asian restaurants out as an area?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. So, high level speaking, there is a trend of marketplace unbundling. It's being a specialized marketplace, we can serve our merchant, our restaurant, and customer better. So to give you an example, it's like for our Asian customer, for our customers, you know, we kind of curate, handpick the best Asian food for them. And also we have a very unique, like a dish-centric experience for the customer to explore this kind of food and to feature the restaurant's best dishes. So by doing this, we're able to bring the restaurant more revenue, you know, comparing to other platforms.
Chowbus is what it's called, yeah. Chowbus.
Yeah. So,
how old are you, if I may ask?
I'm 29, yeah.
And you've been doing this for 5 years now?
Yeah, correct.
So you were just a young man at IIT. How long have you lived in the United States then?
I came here in 2013, so it's 7 years, yeah.
7 years now. But did you come here with something like this in mind? You were at IIT. Did you think you were going to be running an app that helped restaurants, or what was your plan when you came over?
I always want to start my own company. It's since my childhood, but I didn't have any idea. You know, it's just I found this opportunity while I was in the school. It's you know, when I tried to order some food delivery here in the United States, I found so many restaurants I like, they are not on any platforms. Also, the delivery fee was quite high. And so I just decided to build a, you know, a kind of a platform to serve these underserved restaurants and try to bring them more revenue. Yeah.
Well, that is the American entrepreneurial way, and one thing that you just mentioned, I think, bears repeating here, and that is, and it's something that we just all have discovered, Lin Chin, that those fees were so high for so many of these very popular delivery services. Where do your fees check in at?
Yeah, it's really differs. I'm proud to see we have the lowest commission for the restaurants. And that's why so many restaurants, you know, they really, really like our service. Also, sometimes it's not about the fees. It's about how you treat them, right? It's at our company, we have the sympathy of, you know, to this restaurant. This is like a fundamental to our company. It's like our mindset is like we are there to help them instead of like squeezing every penny out of them. So, yeah. You know.
I think it also helps. What is your native tongue? Is it Cantonese?
No, Mandarin.
Mandarin. Your app works in both languages, I understand, as well as English. But I think that is something that you must have realized right away. I think there's a language barrier with a lot of these mom-and-pop Asian restaurants. So in terms of marketing or technology, I think just customer relations, I think there's plenty of us who've ordered food from those restaurants really wanting to patronize them, but there's a language barrier that doesn't work for either. And if you are from China and are good enough in English and have an app that appreciates this, I think you've discovered something, haven't you?
It's very hard for this immigrant restaurant. You know, they cook amazing dish, right?
Yeah.
But because the language barrier, because the cultural barrier, and they don't know how to do marketing, and it's so hard for them to manage the drivers, you know, to manage their own delivery.
Yeah.
And there's just so many things we can do to help them. In the future, we can use more data, you know, to help them to understand their customers and do more things for them. Yeah.
Ciao, Bus. Nice to talk to you, Lin Chin. Good luck to you. Continued success.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
That's Lin Chin Wen, founder of Ciao Bus, the Chicago-based delivery app. They're in every major American city now. Just announced a $33 million new round of funding. They're doing okay. It's 12:44. More business news. This is Steve Bertrand.
Wind the clock. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, your daily roundup of Chicago area business news. Remember the calls for a boycott of Goya Foods? That was after the CEO praised President Trump and the president's endorsement of the food line. Well, Crane says that could benefit Chicago's La Preferida, and it has. Sales are up about 4%, but the boost for Goya has been greater, with sales up 35%. The Chicago Tribune could be on the move again. After leaving its longtime home in Tribune Tower for Prudential Plaza, there's word Tribune Publishing is in talks with Sterling Bay for a buyout of its lease. And SitterCity, a Chicago tech company that pioneered online childcare solutions, connecting parents with babysitters, has a new babysitter of its own. Publicly traded childcare provider Bright Horizons says it's bought the Chicago startup for an undisclosed amount of money. That's the Wintrust Business Minute. I'm Steve Bertrand.
Orion Samuelson's looking at market numbers. Go ahead, O.
Market numbers for the grain trade today are all red. The September wheat contract is down 5¾ cents a bushel. September corn is down 3½ cents a bushel. August soybeans trading down 9½ cents a bushel. Livestock futures, Chicago Mercantile Exchange, these are the numbers. They're mixed. The August lean hog contract is up $1.25 a hundredweight. The August live cattle contract is up 12 cents, but the rest of the cattle contracts are trading lower. And the August feeder cattle contract is down 55 cents. Soybean futures fell for the fourth day in a row to their lowest level since June 30th. Expectations keep building that we'll have larger supplies with good crops in many parts of the world, and it will outstrip demand even as top buyer China steps up its purchases. But a bearish supply outlook also pressured wheat futures down 1.8% to a one-month low, and the corn market also trading lower today. But let's get back to that purchase by China, because USDA confirmed the biggest U.S. soybean sale to China since June, and a report of private sales today of soybeans to China 456,000 tons, the biggest single-day soybean sale to the world's top buyer since June 11. And the deals come despite rising political tensions between Washington and Beijing and China's purchases of our products. Corn, wheat, grain sorghum, soybeans, pork are continuing at a rapid pace without regard to any geopolitical tensions, according to Bill Lapp, who is president of the Nebraska-based Advanced Economic Solutions. China's soybean imports rose 18% this year through July compared to a year ago. Large volumes of soybeans from Brazil also arrived, according to Chinese trade data. A reminder that county and state fairs not happening. The Wisconsin State Fair, the Illinois State Fair, which would have opened soon, not taking place because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And again, a reminder, there'll be a virtual Farm Progress Show in Boone, Iowa, and a virtual Husker Harvest Days in Grand Island, Nebraska. Oh, and I'm still getting questions about the sandwich fair. Won't happen this year because of the pandemic. And that's your money on 720 WGN.
You're going to be all worn out anyway if you go to that Raging Waves thing. You know, we talked about that one place, an outdoor sort of theme park where you exercise and climb walls and go down trails. That was called the Forge in Lamont. But one of the largest water parks in the United States, the largest in Illinois, is in Yorkville. Randy Witt is the co-owner of Raging Waves. Hey, Randy, you're on WGN. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You probably wish it was a little warmer, or is this weather good for you?
No, it's actually, this weather is good. It's actually pretty warm. I think we just hit about 81 out here.
Yeah. So am I right? This is one of the largest water parks anywhere, right?
It is, yeah. Largest in the state. They have us, they being the theme park association that we're affiliated with, have us listed as the 11th largest water park in the nation.
Is this a franchise? That is, are there a bunch of Raging Waves across the country, or is it unique to Illinois?
Yeah, it's unique to Illinois. It's just my wife and I. Yeah, just Dawn and Randy, mom and popper.
Well, that's pretty amazing. And in Yorkville, which, you know, I've spent a lot of time in Yorkville. It's a lovely town there on the Fox River. Where are you then relative to 34 and 45 and all?
Well, right off of State Highway 47, just north of Yorkville, probably about 3 miles north of the river that you referenced.
Yeah, right. And so what inspired you to get into this business?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, I am so sorry. I don't think we have enough time for that. So just wanting an idea. Just came up with this idea. One thing led to another, then that led to another, and all of a sudden it's like, hey, let's build this water park. And then, quite frankly, I just got bit by the water park bug and really set out on this grand adventure to, you know, first find the right suppliers, find the right property, find the right design team, and then find the right people to help pay for it.
Yeah, no kidding. The financing must have been daunting. I mean, this thing is huge. And there's one of the rides on this place which really sounds fun to me, the one where you get to race six people down various slides at the same time. Is that right?
Well, that is our app, our brand-new ride, Aussie Mad Dash, and we have made the decision we are going to roll that out next year due to things that have been going on. There was a few construction delays and, you know, this and that. It's all good. It's all built. We just want to get it all fine-tuned, get the area completely remediated. And we made the decision just a few days ago that with everything that's going on, let's just roll this. We got this brand-new, shiny, new ride, one of three in the world, and we want to roll it out. We want to put our best foot forward on this. So although the ride is done for the most part, the area surrounding it was still under, you know, construction zone type of thing and stuff. So we decided, you know what, let's put our best foot forward. Let's not rush this. Let's roll it out in its grandest form.
How long have you guys been in business? How long has this water park been there?
This is our 13th season.
And it's $35 or so to get in. Is it the sort of thing with COVID now that I need to make a reservation, or can I just pull up and go in?
No, you do need to make a reservation. Yeah, we have an online reservation system. Yeah, we have to work with capacity limits, and so we pretty much need to know who's going to be here and at what level. So, yeah, you do need to make a reservation.
How's business?
It's been okay. I wouldn't say it's been great. The summer we've been having, other than these past few days, we've had great weather. There's just no ifs, ands, or buts about that. It's just, working with restrictions and people, some people choose to come. We respect that all. Some people choose not to. It's been okay. It's been probably a little better than average, not great, but it's been okay. It's been good.
Well, let's put it this way. The weather is good, and you ain't traveling anywhere else. We're all staying home, so let's check out Yorkville's Raging Waves, ragingwaves.com, ragingwaves.com. Randy, we wish you well. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Good luck.